Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
From CAFE and the Vox Media Podcast Network, this is Stay Tuned in Brief. I'm Preet Bharara. On March 26th, Trump Media and Technology Group, the company that owns former President Donald Trump's social media platform, Truth Social, became publicly traded. Its stock ticker is DJT. On its first day of trading, the company's stock price soared, reaching an estimated valuation of $8 billion. Less than 1 week later, the stock plummeted, falling more than 20% after an SEC filing revealed that the company had lost over $58 million in 2023 and brought in only $4.1 million in revenue. Its volatile debut has prompted many to label it a meme stock. Joining me to discuss is Felix Salmon, chief financial correspondent at Axios. Felix, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start simple. The company, Trump Media and Technology Group, what is it? What does it do?
It runs a tiny social network called Truth Social.
Yeah. And that's about it.
That's it. Yeah.
Doesn't sell clothing.
Doesn't sell limited edition services. Sneakers. Like, there's
Bibles? Does it sell any Bibles?
Doesn't even sell Bibles. Just because it's Trump connected does not mean it's Truth Social connected.
I see. Okay. I should timestamp this for people. We're recording this on Thursday, April 4th. So a lot can happen between now and when people listen to this podcast. But how would you describe the initial valuation of the company, the current valuation of the company, and the likely valuation in the immediate future?
I would answer all three questions with extraordinarily high. You know, as you said, this is a company that has almost nothing in revenues, $4 million in revenues, like your average corner shop probably does that. It managed to lose more than $50 million on those $4 million in revenues. It really needed this money from the merger where it went public with the, you know, special purpose acquisition company just to keep the lights on and have enough cash to keep on losing money. It has no prospect of making money at any point in the foreseeable future. So the company itself is kind of worthless, we can assume. But the stock...
But not on paper.
The stock is a whole other thing, right? The stock is something that people can bet on. They can bet that it's going up. They can bet that it's going down. They can buy options. And that is exactly what people used to do with GameStop back in, you know, January 2021. And it's what they're doing with DJT right now. And the one thing that we know for sure is that all the way from now through November, this election noise is just going to get louder. Trump is going to become a bigger and bigger part of everyone's consciousness. You're not going to be able to escape him. There's going to be this ticker on the stock market called DJT, which people are going to play as a way of basically betting for or against Donald Trump. And yeah, it's going to be a crazy game. A lot of people are going to lose a lot of money, and it's going to be a lot of noise and very distracting.
We're going to break all this down, but explain to me why it's the case without revealing any trade secret of our own podcast. Why, as a proportional matter, I'm not worth $2 to $3 billion.
You know, Preet, it's because
given the revenue that we make.
It's, yeah, exactly. I can hazard a guess.
My family has been asking me this question. I don't have an answer.
Exactly. Like your business, CAFE, is probably making more money in revenues than Truth Social. And yet you're not worth $2 billion. And that is because you're not a meme stock. Have you ever considered becoming a meme stock?
I haven't decided to become a meme. I mean, did someone decide to become a meme stock? Was this, do you think, the actual play here?
Yes.
2 or 3 years ago for Donald Trump. This was a deliberate creation of a meme. I mean, so the other stocks that you mentioned that you described as meme stocks and others described as meme stocks didn't begin that way. Those were actual businesses that had ongoing business operations. And at some point, some subset of the population decided that they wanted to trade in them for various reasons that were untethered to the performance of the companies. But are there other companies that, began and originated as meme stocks?
Not that I can think of. I will say that there were a couple of meme stocks. Hertz was one. Bed Bath & Beyond was another, that became meme stocks only after they had filed for bankruptcy. And at that point, you can pretty much assume that the valuation of the stock is zero, but still they would go up massively and become these crazy meme stocks in the short term. So, you know, there were edge cases there, but this is the only one I can think of where people really came out in an attempt to create a vehicle for people to just bet on vibes, bet on the Trump vibes. And you can tell that they wanted it to be a meme stock by looking at the ticker symbol they chose. You know, they picked DJT as a ticker symbol because that was the most meme-friendly way to get people to play the stock in that fashion.
You mentioned that this is a product of a SPAC. I had thought that SPACs were no longer a thing. Was I wrong about that?
No, you're pretty much right about that. But remember, this merger was announced, the SPAC acquiring Trump Media and Technology Group. That merger was announced in October 2021, I believe. It was a long time ago, back when SPACs were a thing. And this SEC doesn't allow just anyone to SPAC. They force you to file a whole bunch of, you know, filings and make sure that you're some vague semblance of a legitimate company before they let you actually consummate the merger and go public. And that whole process of going from like announcing the merger to actually executing the merger took from 2021 to 2024. So that's why like this weird throwback SPAC thing is happening right now. It's just because it took forever for them to actually finish the process of what's known as de-SPACing.
Right. That sounds vaguely dirty.
It's extremely dirty.
So Donald Trump, based on the volatile, changing, but still very high valuation of his company, is now worth an additional several billion dollars. Explain to folks, can he decide tomorrow to liquidate his position and go home and use that money on his campaign or on a plane or for his own purposes or not?
The short answer is basically yes. Technically, he is locked up for 6 months, so he's not really allowed to sell any stock until October.
Right.
But he, to all intents and purposes, controls this company. The board is his son and various other loyalists and MAGA types. So if he went up to the board and said, listen, can you waive this lockup and let me sell stock tomorrow? They would almost certainly say yes and let him do that.
What would be the consequence of that? So if Donald Trump decided, this is my personal money-making vehicle, I'm strapped because I have these bonds to put up with respect to these judgments and the civil matters, I have criminal lawyers to pay and all of that, and he gets his familial and personally loyal board to waive the lockup, and can he sell all of it?
In theory, sure.
In theory, he can sell all of it. Yep. So let's in that hypothetical, he's established this company worth billions of dollars. He sells his entire stake. I believe he has about 57%.
Correct.
First of all, will there be a market for 50% of the shares of this company?
I should imagine that if he started selling that many shares, you know, pretty quickly, that force of selling would bring the price down. But there's
by
a price.
By a lot, would it not?
That, you know, this is a meme stock. And meme stocks work according to their own weird internal logic. And for all we know, if Trump came out and announced with great fanfare that he was going to be selling the stock and that anyone who wanted to support him should be buying it off him, I don't know, maybe it would go up. Like, meme stocks do not behave like normal stocks. In any normal state of the world, the major shareholders selling a large chunk of their shares would cause the shares to go down. That's
to crater. The shares would crater in a normal situation, right?
That would be normal. That would probably be what would happen in this case too. But like right now in the stock market, in this crazy world that we've been in since the pandemic, you know, all bets are off.
Okay. So let's talk about another scenario. Let's say he doesn't ask for a waiver of the lockup. It sounds like your answer is going to be, it's just unpredictable because meme stocks are. So all these questions relating to predictions about consequences if certain events come to pass maybe are impossible to answer, but I'm going to try anyway, Felix. If Donald Trump loses the election and he's no longer the same central fixture in our lives that he's going to be the next few months, what do you think the effect of that is on the stock?
For me, I think of DJT, the stock, as a way of playing the Trump vibes and how strong the Trump vibes are in the economy. If he loses the election and slowly fades from public consciousness, I can't imagine that DJT as a sort of vibe meme stock would continue to be particularly valuable. My base case is that that would bring the value of the stock down significantly.
Unless, I mean, I guess a contrary scenario is he loses, but he claimed that the election was stolen, just like he claims it was in 2020. He's not running for president again, or at least not for another 4 years when he's well into his 80s. But he becomes the voice of the opposition to a second Biden term. And there might be a lot of interest in that, right?
Well, we've kind of seen that over the past 4 years, right? So yeah. The question is, how relevant has Trump been over the past 4 years, and how much would people have been paying attention to his meme stock over the past 4 years? I can't really answer that counterfactual. My guess is that he will have some attention and that the stock will continue to trade at some kind of objectively ludicrous non-zero valuation, but that it would be lower than the heights that we will see probably around the election.
Okay, what about the other scenario? Donald Trump wins the election, becomes president again in 2025. I guess the first question is, and maybe you're not the right person to ask this question of, and I should have a better answer myself, does he have to divest from the company as president, or should he?
Should he is an easy one. Yes, absolutely he should. If you look at the emoluments clause, I think it's pretty clear that it says that he should, and that it would kind of be illegal not to, because the company becomes this really easy way to basically drive money directly to Trump and to effectively bribe him, right?
Like by foreign investors, you mean?
Exactly. If you're a foreign, if the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia buys $100 million worth of advertising on Truth Social, they know that he owns 58% of that company. He can see them making that buy. It's clearly like a way of them paying money to the president of the United States. It violates all manner of principles and laws. But what we saw during Trump's first term was that the emoluments clause seems to have no teeth, and no one is ever going to enforce it. So, I'm not holding my breath for his divestment to ever happen.
So we've been talking about meme stocks, and I guess they have been a matter of discussion only in recent years, unless I'm forgetting something from the past. As a general matter, notwithstanding your, I think, completely correct thesis that meme stocks don't follow the normal laws of gravity and physics and economics, one has to presume that a meme stock can't remain such for an indefinite period of time, for years and years, or can it? I mean, in other words, at some point, doesn't even a very popular and dramatically rising meme stock have to give way to the fact that there's very anemic revenue?
At some point, yes. I mean, but the question is how long that takes. When GameStop,
what's the date? Could you tell us what is the day of the week and the time that that will happen? So we can plan our portfolios.
One thing I can tell you is, and again, I've just learned this by looking at GameStop. Like, GameStop is still trading at a super high valuation compared to before it became a meme stock, and that was 4 years ago. So these things can stay elevated for a while. And, in a world where DJT becomes completely crazy and goes up to $500 a share, then yeah, it could lose $400 of that valuation and go down and crash down to $100 a share and still be worth twice as much as it is today. Anything is possible.
I guess that's right. What does it tell you, and what should it tell the public generally and the investing public specifically, that it appears the company does not want to release certain metrics, including numbers of users? Is that a red flag or not?
Oh, if you want to invest in the company, that's a very red flag, right? If you care about the company as a corporate investment, then yeah, the fact that it's not releasing its monthly average users or daily average users, and has in fact come out and said it's never going to release those numbers, it's like, no, if I want to know about this company if I want to invest in it. So yeah, I don't think it affects the stock very much, because as I say, the stock, when you're playing the stock, you're playing the stock, you're not playing the company. But from a sort of corporate governance perspective, that's definitely a red flag, yes.
with the proviso that you are not here to provide investment advice, I guess you must say that all the time, I'm nonetheless going to ask you the question, and I know what the answer is based on what you said so far in the show and what you hinted at before we started recording. Should I, I'm going to make this about me, not the listening audience, should I today spend a lot of energy shorting this stock, betting against this stock?
So the first thing I'll say is that it would be very expensive. In order to short a stock, the first thing you need to do is you need to borrow stock from someone who holds it. And then what you do is you take that stock that you've borrowed and you sell it in the open market. Right now, if you want to borrow DJT stock, that will cost you about 500% in annual interest that you need to pay to the holder just to borrow the stock. So shorting is a very expensive and very dangerous proposition because, well, it can't drop more than $48 because it's only trading at $48 a share. It can go up an unlimited amount. So if you then need to cover that short, if you need to buy it back in the future in the hope of making a profit because it's lower than 48, you might actually wind up having to buy it back at a price much higher than 48. And given that DJT is to all intents and purposes a random number generator and it will just trade it wherever it trades, the number that you wind up having to cover your short at could be much, much higher than the number it is trading at right now.
I mean, in an ordinary universe, right? If many, many people, respected people in particular, are publicly known to have shorted a significant stock and also shorted that stock based on sound analysis, like lack of revenue, lack of transparency about users and that sort of thing, that would normally have a depressing effect on the stock, right?
I'm not sure about that. Like the fact that they've sold the stock in the past and therefore got their short position is a sign that the stock has already been subject to selling pressure. So where we're seeing it right now is post-selling pressure. Now, at some point, all of those people who are short are going to have to cover their shorts, which means they're going to have to buy back the stock. And so in the future, there will be buying pressure. So weirdly speaking, in the stock market, if there's a large short interest in the stock, that's often taken as a sign that it might go up.
And you're not going to make a prediction with any specificity about what happens here.
Well, actually, I'm just going to say it's going to be on April the, no, let's say August the 14th, we'll see a very volatile, you know, crash in DJT stock, definitely.
Why August 14th?
I'm just making that up.
Oh, I started to put that in my, calendar. I was going to alert my broker. What's this business relating to Russian-American involvement in this company and in this stock?
As I say, from a corporate governance perspective, Truth Media and Technology Group is, I believe the technical term is a shit show. Like there's been enormous amounts of litigation already. There will continue to be litigation. No one's entirely clear how it managed to cobble its way through to going public in the first place, but it did get there in the end. They tried to raise $1 billion through something called the Public Investment in Private Equity, and that fell through. This is not like the best people in the world running this company. It's a mess. And do I believe that there's something vaguely Russian in there somewhere? I could easily believe it, but yeah, it's just very messy.
And finally, we also learned in the last few days that the company has filed suit in Florida to push out two of its co-founders.
Yep.
What's that about?
That's just part of the mess.
just part of the mess.
Basically, okay. These two guys were hired to set up the company, and as part of the deal, they got 8.5% of the company. And now they're like, we own 8.5% of the company, and that's worth $600 million. So hey, we're dynastically wealthy, isn't this amazing? And Trump himself basically is saying, but wait, you didn't actually do very much work, which is true, they didn't. Maybe you don't deserve 8.5% of this now very valuable company. And so he's trying to sue to take that stock back. I have no idea whether he might. You're the lawyer. You have a better idea whether that's a colorable case.
I haven't
case
looked
or not.
At it yet. I got my hands full with all the other cases. It's amazing that a person who's involved in so much litigation chooses to bring another litigation. Final question, sir. Are you now or have you ever been yourself a member of Truth Social or a user of Truth Social?
I have never once gone to that website. I have not. Have you?
I have not. I don't plan to.
We are both entirely unqualified to talk about True Social.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it seems to me that anything that's of note that he posts on True Social gets repeated on cable television and other social media sites anyway. So it doesn't seem to be, even if you're in the business of journalism and covering the volatile utterances of the former president, it doesn't seem like you really need to be on that site
to
do so.
Outsource that to some poor intern at MSNBC.
Exactly. Your words, not mine. Felix Salmon will be following this. Thank you for your insight. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
For more analysis of legal and political issues making the headlines, become a member of the Cafe Insider. Members get access to exclusive content, including the weekly podcast I host with former U.S. Attorney Joyce Vance. Head to cafe.com/insider to sign up for a trial. That's cafe.com/insider. If you like what we do, rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Every positive review helps new listeners find the show. Send me your questions about news, politics, and justice. Tweet them to me at Preet Bharara with the hashtag AskPreet. You can also now reach me on Threads, or you can call and leave me a message at 669-247-7338. That's 669-24-PREET. Or you can send an email to letters@cafe.com. Stay Tuned is presented by Cafe and the Vox Media Podcast Network. The executive producer is Tamara Sepper. The technical director was David Tadashor. The deputy editor is Celine Rohr. The editorial producer is Noah Azulai. And the Cafe team is Matthew Billy, Nat Wiener, Jake Kaplan, and Claudia Hernandez. Our music is by Andrew Dost. I'm your host, Preet Bharara. Stay tuned.